Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He is from Cleveland.com. You know him and love him. Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Right now, he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and he is in the heart of the Big Apple. He is in New York City as we speak. Hello, Mr. Hoynes. How are you?
Hi, Paul.
What's up, guys? I'm glad there's only one of me. Believe me, there's a lot of other people that feel the same.
Mrs. Hoynes, for one.
Yeah, how long have you been married?
50 years.
Woo!
Oh, man. But Hoynes, does the trip to New York ever get old for you?
It's always exciting. I like New York, but it's a different place, man.
It really is.
All I know is, like, I have nightmares about New York because you always wanted to take, what is it? You want to take the subway out there, out to the Bronx if you're staying in Manhattan, and then you end up taking a car back, and it's always twice as much to come back from Yankee Stadium as it is to go out there, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I take the subway back, too. So there's most of the time I do, like most of the time.
You and Jody Garrett. Remember Jody used to take the subway out to the ballpark?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jody, sure. I rode out there with Rick Dempsey once when he was catching for the Tribe.
Are there any good subway stories that you have from going out there so many times?
I just kind of keep my head down and mumble. So, you know, people stay away from me.
Mumble. That's great strategy.
Or pull out your guitar and start singing. You'll be good there, too.
That would do it, too.
All right, Hoynesy. They made a couple moves. Alex Cobb, can you explain to me what's going on here? He's got fingernail issues. Don't we have somebody here who can put acrylics on this guy so he can get back out there and pitch? What's the deal?
Yeah, you know, they did not announce that until yesterday, and I haven't talked to anybody about it. You know, I talked to Chris Antonetti yesterday morning and asked him why, you know, that Cobb wasn't listed in the rotation. This is before they made the move, and he said they were still working through things. But, you know, he did have some blister issues with the Giants when he was ready to come back at, you know, just before they traded him. So maybe it's related. But I was thinking, you got to get Tom Candiotti back here. You know, what did he put? He used to put horse, what they used to put, you know, trainers used to put this medication on horse hooves, the race horses, to make their hooves tougher. So he used to put that on his nails. So you got to do that. They got to get some of that.
They made three moves leading up to the trade deadline, Hoynesy. You pick up Alex Cobb, which I thought that looks like a nice deal. You went and you picked up an outfielder who you thought, all right, well, you need an outfielder. All right, you guys chose Lane Thomas, fine. And the Matthew Boyd move, which we'll see it again tonight. And so far, two of the three haven't worked out very well. And I can't even be mad at them because I think they made some pretty solid moves at the trade deadline. It just hasn't worked yet.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I liked what Cobb did the first two starts,
yeah,
just because, you know, he really hadn't pitched all year, you know, so that was encouraging. But it's disappointing. Now he's down for 15 days, and you don't know how they're going to fill that spot on Tuesday. You know, I can't see him going with a bullpen game, you know, and with as much as they lean on the bullpen, and what, are they going to empty it to, you know, Tuesday and then maybe put Wednesday's game in, you know, in jeopardy? So, you know, I would think they'll call somebody up. But, and Lane Thomas is a mystery, just Jeff and Andy. You know, this guy's a solid ball player, but right now he's 6 for 53. And I think we're past the point where, you know, he's pressing to impress his new ball club. I'm not sure what's going on.
Hoynesie, what can you do with him? You picked him up to play him. He's got an option. You can't send him down. That's just that would look miserable. What can you do here?
Well, I think you can do what they're trying to do is mix and match now. And you know, they brought Brennan back up. He's swinging the bat well, so you got to play him. You know, the good thing is he can play center, he can play left. He doesn't have to just play right field. And maybe you can, you know, put Thomas back in there two or three times a week, let him get going. But you don't want to sit John Kenzie Noel. You know, he's been struggling a little lately, but he showed a lot of power in the Cubs series. You don't want that to go away. And, you know, and the guy that's really getting squeezed out of time is Tyler Freeman. You know, he was a center fielder for a while, for most of the season. He can't even get on the field now.
All right, so when Jeff and I heard that Chase DeLauder was going to AAA from Akron, I mean, let's be honest, we've all watched this story happen and unfold before. He's like 4 or 5 at-bats away from being in the bigs right now. Is the plan to get him more experience in AAA, or do you think they're fast-tracking him to be here even with a little bit of expanded rosters that they do?
Well, I don't think so, Andy. I think they'll keep him in AAA. You know, they're just still really, I think, leery of his, you know, he's had so many injuries with his feet. I think they want to get him settled. They said he earned the promotion. You know, he finished really strong at Akron the last 10, 15 games there, 30, 20 games there. They thought, you know, offensively he was driving the ball. I think they just want to see him play against better competition, but I'd be surprised if they brought him up. I think they want him just to develop and, you know, this guy really hasn't played a lot of baseball. He's been hurt so much.
Hoynesie, you mentioned Tyler Freeman. Andy and I have talked about Tyler and Daniel Schneeman. Both have done a nice job with what they've been asked to do. Both aren't hitting the ball real well right now. I don't think you need two guys who can play the same positions, basically, and a bunch of them who aren't hitting. If you were to send one of them down, you know, like Esteban Florial is hotter than blazes right now at AAA, would you give him another look? Would you bring up Manzardo and hope, even though he's not hitting the ball real well right now, that he's figured out enough that he can hit major league pitching? Or would you just leave it as it is right now?
Well, I think they got to do something, Jeff. I really do. I think, this offense is kind of dying on the vine here.
Yep.
They seem to be, you know, relying on a home run more and more. And, you know, this isn't a home run hitting team, as Stephen Bode has told us many times. You know, they're kind of they got to get people on base. They've got to, you know, move the line and move the chain. And they're not doing that. And, I would think they've got to do something. I was thinking Gabriel Arias, but he's kind of fallen off a cliff down in Akron. But, you know, obviously they've got to do something. I think they've got to do something to stir the offense a little bit and get back to the, you know, the style of play that led them to where they are right now to help them win 72 games.
Are they still taking it day-to-day inside the clubhouse? Like, I know as a fan, it's easier to go, uh-oh, man, this ship seems like it's taking on water. But then you look and you're like, oh, they're still 20 games over 500. Is it – you've watched this team go through losing streaks and winning streaks and overachieve and underachieve maybe a little bit. What's the psyche of this team right now? And doesn't that belong to the manager, making sure that everything's going forward?
Yeah. And Vogt has done a good job with that. You know, you don't see him get rattled. You don't see him, you know, start biting his nails. You know, and when he talks to the media, he's always the same day in and day out. We're trying to win today. You know, tomorrow we can't do anything about yesterday. Tomorrow, you never know what's going to happen, so let's concentrate on today. You know, the same kind of kind of mantra that Francona took, and I think that's pretty much, you know, kind of leaked into the clubhouse. I think those guys are the same way. But this past weekend in Milwaukee, that was a bad one, guys. That was you've all been in losing locker rooms, and those were 3 days in a row that, you know, you're sitting there wondering, who do you talk to? Because everybody's eating or had their head in their locker. You know, nobody wants to say anything. And that was that was a wake-up call, I think.
Paul Hoynes joining us from The Plain Dealer. You can read all of Hoynes' work at cleveland.com as well. Hoynes, I want to go big picture, long-term on three guys with you. Two of them pitchers, Shane Bieber, coming back from his Tommy John surgery, and Matthew Boyd, who is now back from Tommy John surgery, making his second start tonight. Each guy's contract runs out at the end of this year. If you're the Guardians, are you investing in one or both? And if you're Matthew Boyd, are you just hoping to get healthy, put some games on tape, and go sign for a big contract somewhere?
You know, I think in Boyd's part, you know, I think he'd be open to coming back. I mean, he likes it in Cleveland. He's talked about it a lot. But, you know, they obviously had a chance to, you know, sign him to 1 year. For more than 1 year, I thought maybe you sign him 1 or 2 years with an option, or, you know, 1 year with another an option for next year. But they, you know, they just kind of took it at this year. So that tells me both parties are kind of looking at this. Let's see, let's reevaluate at the end of the season. With Bieber, I think both sides have there's some interest in bringing Bieber back. Both sides feel that way, but I don't think you know. I think you know, there's still a lot of ground to cover. I think, but you know, in talking to Bieber, talking to the Guardians, I think there's interest on both sides to getting something done for next year. But you know, the contract is kind of how do you arrange, you know, do that contract, because he's not going to be able to pitch for at least half a season, right?
Right. That's an interesting one to watch, and I hate to do this because I do it too often. I look at the offense and I think, man, thank goodness for Jose Ramirez and for Josh Naylor. And then I think, and Josh is arbitration eligible next year, and after next season can leave as a free agent. Would you try to extend him, Hoynesy? But I think it's interesting that three of the top seven prospects in the organization, according to the new MLB rankings, are first basemen. What do you think both sides are thinking there?
Yeah, you know, I think Josh would love to stay here. I think, you know, he's talked about, you know, playing with his brother, how much he likes it. You know, and they've had chances, obviously, to talk about, you know, an extension. It hasn't happened. And we all know when you get this close to free agency, the harder it gets to extend the contract. So, you know, there's something there that's holding things up, I would imagine.
Hoynesy, what do you think of the schedule? I'm just looking. I think like the next 16 games, they play Kansas City 7 of the next 16. And how difficult of a road is this with New York for 3? At least you get to come home against Texas. Then you got Kansas City for 4. Then you're still hosting Pittsburgh, which is at least it's here. And then you're at Kansas City. I don't even want to talk about what's on the back end because you got the Dodgers after that. But just your thoughts on like maybe the next 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to be really tough. Andy, I think this is they've had one of the toughest, you know, toughest schedules coming out of the break for sure.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, they just got done with a first place team in Milwaukee that swept them. Now they're in New York with the first place team. Kansas City is 2.5 back. The Twins are 2.5 back. They've still got games with them, and they haven't played that well in the division. So yeah, this is going to be a grind. They're going to be fortunate to hang on and win this if they do that.
Hoynesy, this season's just been way too much fun, though. Even if things collapse from here on out, and I don't know that we all expected this, and I don't expect things to collapse. I think they're going to play some postseason baseball. But this thing's just been as much fun as any season in recent memory to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, you know, it's a lot like what – 2022, maybe, or no, yeah, 2022 when they came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
you know, I did not expect this club to play as well as they have, and you know, if they had Bieber, you know, where would it be? You know, we probably wouldn't be talking like this, but I mean, if their rotation had stayed, you know, at least on stable ground. You know, this wouldn't even be a race, I don't think. So it's been a fun team to cover. It's been a fun season to us watch unfold.
All right, Hoynesy, keep your head down in the subway. We always appreciate your time. Thank you, man.
We'll see you guys.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, Paul Hoynes joining us right here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mix and matching your starters. You lost Alex Cobb now to a busted fingernail. Lane Thomas is just really struggling at the plate. I hear what Hoynes is saying. I just don't know if that path is there.
I'd shake it up somehow. The only reason I'm saying Estevan Florial is because what have they done a lot this year? Who's hot in Columbus? And let's bring him up and give him a look. He's hot in Columbus right now. I'd bring him up and give him a look. And again, I don't mean to pick on Daniel Schneeman. I don't mean to pick on Tyler Freeman. You don't need two utility guys who aren't hitting. You just don't need them. You've got one. That's terrific. Send the other one back to Columbus. Tell him to stay sharp because we might need you for the playoffs. And I would try and find somebody who can come up here, get hot, and maybe spark the offense, Andy. If they don't like Florial, is it time to give Kyle Manzardo another look? I mean, he's not been hot in Columbus, but maybe what he needs is another look up here. I don't know.
Are you looking at Miles Straw again?
I'm not looking at Miles in
no,
the least.
No, it seems like he's nowhere near the radar. Like he is, they're destined to leave him in Columbus without any question.
I mean, what would it send a bad message if they brought Miles Straw up right now?
No, the message would be is that I want the best players that can possibly be on this team right now. And
that's bad message. Like, wait a minute, we've seen Miles for a number of years.
But
that's
the
best we can do.
Well, he's hitting okay. He's definitely a major league glove. We've never questioned that.
I would rather give Lane Thomas more at bats.
Also, how do they get off the roller coaster? I think that's it all kind of goes back to July. It goes back to July 20th when they dropped two to San Diego and one to Detroit. So now you got a 3-game losing streak. Then you bounce back and you pick up the last two against Detroit, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe they're back. They win two, they lose one, they beat Philly 2 out of 3, so now you're okay. In fact, that last game against Philadelphia, that was the beginning of a 5-game winning streak. And by the beginning of August, by August 2nd, you're like, okay, everything's good. They figured this out, and then boom, they hit that nasty 7-game losing streak with Baltimore, Arizona, and Minnesota still. Able to salvage the back end of the Minnesota trip. They pick up two there, and then they go on a 5-game winning streak, and then they drop 3 to Milwaukee. It's just up and down and up and down, and you just don't know what's coming next. I'm hoping that we go back to the surprise, right? You're playing the Yankees. They're in first place in the East. They're in a total battle for the East to try to win the East. Take 2 out of 3 from New York, and then all of a sudden everybody's mindset will change as they come back home for a 7-game homestand against Texas and Kansas City. No, more than that. I'm sorry. They have Pittsburgh on the back end of that. So it's a 10-game homestand. They're really going to have a chance to make some hay at home, especially with Kansas City in there for 4. But you're still playing some good teams.
There's nothing to panic about here. But Hoynsey, I thought Hoynsey had it nailed. And he said something that I said yesterday. You go to Milwaukee and you score 4 runs in 3 games, and all 4
in a hitter's ballpark.
And 4 runs attributed to home runs. Andy, you had a 2-run and 2 solos. That was your offense in Milwaukee. And as Hoynsey said, they seem to be counting on the home runs, and they're not exactly a home run hitting team, as Stephen Vogt said. And somehow they have to get back to the aggressive style of offense. And, you know, I'm all for home runs. It's a lot easier to put 2 or 3 on the board if you get a single and a walk and then somebody hits a 3-run bomb as opposed to putting 3 on the board because somebody got a double, somebody got a single, then there's a walk, then somebody got a double.
The other part of it is
but you need a mix.
Well, and Stephen Kwan had just a rough weekend, right? He was 1 for 4 in the last game.
Stephen's had a rough second half, Andy. His entire second half of the season's been rough. And that's a shame. Man, he was just on fire early on.
Terry is in Cleveland. Terry, hi, T.
How you doing, guys?
Hi, Terry.
I got a question for either one of y'all, for the whole organization. And what I'm saying that is, okay, take Josh Naylor out the equation. Take Henny out the equation. Take Ramirez, and you take Kwan. In this whole organization, what do you got for just consistent hitting?
Not much, Terry.
So this is what it is, because you get nothing out of catching, you get nothing out of shortstop, and you get nothing out of outfield besides Quan.
John Kenzie Noel's giving you some stuff now.
Well, yeah, but ever since he said he was a good hitter, he ain't hit nothing since. So, you know.
He hit three home runs after I said, let's get him more at-bats.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, that was fine. Then he decided to say, well, I'm a good hitter. It's either all or nothing with you. So what I'm saying is, Thomas didn't come over here, and this is just like the Cleveland curse. He has done absolutely nothing. How can you come here and make me wish Miles Straw was out there?
Because I don't know. You and Andy are the same guy on that.
I don't know. Jerry, we're cut from the same cloth, my friend.
He's been 118 or 120 since he's been here. Bo Naylor is he ain't much better than Hedges. But, I mean, you know, you look at that. And Rocchio, you told me once, Jeff, guys don't usually hit their first year, whatever the case may be. I'm a little shaky. I agree with you 100% about Shielman and
Freeman.
Freeman.
Yeah.
You know, but what do we got? We don't got.
Terry, let me give you the nasty numbers real quick, okay? You just mentioned a couple of guys. Bo Naylor, 183. These are since the All-Star break. Naylor, 183. Rocchio, 175. Lane Thomas, 113 with the Guardians. Schneeman, 163. And Freeman, 188. Oh, my goodness, Andy.
Hey, you didn't even mention Hedges.
200. He's the leader of the group.
Terry, thank you. Appreciate you. Terry checking in. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. It's a struggle, man. I don't know. Why did I go back and look at the box score from Sunday? Because I didn't want to and I knew better. And man.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, you got two hits, both from the top of your lineup. I thought they were getting no hit on Sunday. It just felt that way. Felt like everything was going
yeah,
that
it did.
Way. Luckily, it didn't. But
Andy,
for whatever that's worth.
Stephen's hitting .225 since the All-Star break. I mean, if you're looking for why your offense is struggling, that's a guy who was hitting over .350 in the first half of the season, getting on base, scoring runs. He's hitting .225. He's the guy who sets everything up for Josh Naylor, for Jose Ramirez. And he's hitting .225. He's your leadoff guy. And he should be your leadoff guy. But he's not been doing a very good job. I mean, since the All-Star break, this team hasn't hit. .222 as a team.
Bob is in Euclid. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Oh, good afternoon. Well, I'm getting concerned because I didn't know much about the Brewers, but I tell you, I'm impressed with them now. And they kind of seem to have the Guardians' number. Although, if you think about it, the two close games, the Guardians were in it all the way. They just couldn't score. The first game they lost, you can't give up a three-run homer in the first inning when you're not scoring any runs. So I'm getting nervous because I don't know what kind of starting pitching we're going to have. And the farther you go, if you get into the playoffs, the farther you go, the better the pitching is you face. And that seems to be, as you guys have been talking about, scoring runs is the problem.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the pitching yet in the playoffs because I got to get there. Bob, I wish I could say that.
No, you're right, Andy. You're right.
You know, And by the way, I do think things back off a little bit. The pressure, you know, the pressure to have at least three good starters can give you a little bit of confidence going into the playoffs. But to hit four, and because you wouldn't need five. So I'm nervous. I'm very nervous about this team. I'm nervous when I look at the schedule. I'm nervous about it. But then if I want to ease my mind, Bob, I go back and I look, well, they're 20 games over 500, and they've been this way for a while.
True. So, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Bob in Euclid. I don't know. I don't want to fear the rest of the season. I want to be able to sit back. And, you know what? Please, go take two out of three from the Yankees and ease our mind.
Well,
take two out of three from the Yankees and ease my mind.
Would this help you? Matthew Boyd goes out tonight, throws 5-6 innings, and gives your team a chance to win.
Who's starting tomorrow?
At this time, I don't think it's been announced. And I was just going to ask you, would you bring up Cantillo? Would you bring up Tristan McKenzie?
I would go with Cantillo. Who would you go with, Dan?
Cantillo.
Okay. All right. Sometimes I need that justification.
I wonder.
I mean, because I just don't.
I'm not the one that you want to justify things off of. Trust me.
I know, but I just
I'm
need
an irrational human being.
I kind of want somebody to agree with me on that because I don't have a good feeling. I don't have a good feeling at all. And when does Cookie get off the DL?
He's got a ways to go.
I can't remember last time. The last time he was a decision. So I mean, there's that's going to be an option somewhere down the road.
Cantillo's last start in AAA, Andy,
mm-hmm.
and he's ready to pitch because it was on August 15th. So tomorrow, you know, that's 6 days. He's more than good to go if they want to throw him. He went 4 1/3, gave up 2 runs on 4 hits, struck out 6 against Iowa. But he would be in line to start because his last start was August 15th. I would think they designate Anthony Gose again after tonight. Well, wouldn't you, Dan?
You're gonna have to.
Yeah, and you probably bring up bring up Cantillo.
Unless somebody else goes on the DL.
You wouldn't have to clear a 40-man spot, though, this time.
You wouldn't DFA him this time. I just feel bad for that guy.
You'd probably just send him back to AAA.
I think losing Cobb's gigantic, even if it's for 2 weeks. Because look at what they have over the next 2 weeks. New York, Texas, and big games against Kansas City, who's now just 2.5 back. Not to mention Pittsburgh being here.
You need a good start from Boyd tonight.
And that's the way to start. All right, let's come back. Let's kind of... I don't know. I don't want to be all paranoid about the Guardians, but it's hard not to. I'm sorry. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.